Please turn in the Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. At the end of the service today, our brother Ian, Mr. Ian Muir, is going to come up and he's going to close in prayer. I have to make my way over to that funeral service. I have to speak in the home at 2:15. So please remember us in prayer. Ephesians chapter 5. 2 weeks ago, we commenced a series of messages on the family entitled Bible Truth for the Family in this 21st Century. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first marriage to take place in the Bible and the first family to be set up at the beginning of time. We considered three things on that occasion: the origin of marriage, the couple in marriage, and the purpose of marriage. Then last week we looked at the main cause for marriage breakdowns. And of course we considered the sin of adultery. And at the end of the service last Lord's Day morning, we considered how to avoid committing adultery. Today I want to draw your attention to the husband's duty towards his wife in the marriage relationship. However, before we look at this subject, I want to read some verses from Ephesians chapter 5. We'll commence our reading at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for thy presence with us. We thank thee for thy precious word that we have read. And we know, Lord, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And O God, we do pray today as we turn to consider this subject from thy word, that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit, and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. O God, we pray that you'll bless all the families in our congregation here. We thank thee for each and every one of them. And we pray, Lord, that you would unite our families in Christ. And we pray, Lord, today that as we turn to thy precious word, that you would minister unto us, speak to us. And O God, to thee we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honor. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. We live in an age when the devil is doing his utmost to destroy and break up the family home. Never has there been a time when the Christian family has been under such attack from the prince of the power of the air than in this generation in which we live. It seems as if Satan and all his fallen angels have united their forces together in one last great effort to pull down and rip apart the Christian home. Of course, the devil has always sought to destroy the family unit, but I believe more so in these latter days. As we draw near to the end of this age, Satan knows that his time is short. Thus the evil one is doing everything within his power to bring about the breakdown of godly homes. Therefore, It is the Christian's duty and responsibility to do everything within their power to keep the family together. The Christian family, I believe, can only be kept together by adhering to the teaching of God's precious word. In Ephesians chapters 5 and 6, we have God's instructions to each member of the family. Now, we haven't taken the time to read all of the verses today, but over these next number of weeks, we're going to be considering these verses that we read about the family in Ephesians 5 and 6. And I pray that the Lord will use his word and speak to each and every one of our hearts. The Lord, in this portion of scripture, shows us the duty of the husband, the duty of the wife, the duty of the children, and the duty of the father. And I pray that as we consider these verses over these next number of weeks, that God will speak to each and every one of our souls. Now, very simply today, at the close of this service, as I have indicated there, I want to draw your attention to the husband's duty towards his wife in the marriage relationship. And of course, we have those words recorded in the passage of Scripture which we have read. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25-33. And as you study those verses, you learn very quickly that there are three requirements which God lays down in his word for the husband to fulfill in relation to his wife. Very simply, I want to draw your attention to them. Now, we'll be focusing mainly upon this passage of Scripture, but there are other passages of Scripture that I want to emphasize as well. And I pray that when we come to look at those passages of Scripture, that you will turn to your Bibles, because it's very important that we see, and you see, from God's Word, what is being taught here to the husbands. Now, first of all, I want you to notice very clearly here, very simply, that the husband must love his wife. Look what it says there in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5. Love, husbands, love your wives. Here we have a direct command from God. But then, when you consider the rest of the text, you will discover that the husbands are to love their wives. Look at it. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Here we have the depth of the husband's love towards his wife. Of course, when we think of the love of Christ towards his people, we have to think about the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made. The Lord Jesus loved us so much that he gave himself as a sacrifice for sin. In other words, Christ gave his all for us when he went to the cross of Calvary. And not only did the Savior love us fully, but the Savior loved us freely, and the Savior loved us willingly for our sins. Thank God. The Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his love for his friends. And of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he was laying down his life for his enemies, because we were the enemies of God. And yet the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross and offer up himself a sacrifice in order to save us. The Son of God did not merely die on the cross out of a sense of duty. He died on Golgotha's brow because he loved sinners with an unspeakable love. It was Christ's desire when he went to the cross to sanctify and save a people that he loved with everlasting love. And the love that Christ had for the church when he gave himself an offering for sin is the type of love that the husband must have and must show towards his wife. That's what the text of Scripture, I believe, is teaching. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, if the husband loves his wife in this way, then he will respect her, he will cherish her, he will protect her, and he will never mentally or physically abuse her in any way. Indeed, as the chapter in Ephesians goes on to say, the husband will love his wife as he loves himself. Look with me there at verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 5. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And look at the beginning of verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And of course, the husband must love his wife as himself, because through marriage, she is now a part of him. That's what verse 31 says. Look at verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Thus, if the husband despises his wife, he despises himself. But by loving her and looking after her, he is displaying his love for himself. And he is demonstrating the love that Christ had for the church. So important that we underline these words, especially in verse 25. You might say it goes without saying that husbands love their wives. Does it? Certainly when someone is first married, the husband can say at that point that he loves his wife. But you know, when you're married for 30 or 40 years, maybe that love grows dim. Maybe it turns into hatred. Many cases it does. That's why there are many divorces in our land today. But as we're going to find out in a moment, the love that the husband must have for his wife not only will be for a few years at the beginning of the marriage, but it will last throughout the complete marriage. And that's what the Bible here emphasizes. That's what God's word declares. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wives even as you would love yourself. There's a wonderful text of scripture over these past number of months. We have been considering the life of Isaac. And in Genesis 24 verse 67, we read these words concerning Isaac when he married Rebekah. It says, and Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent, and she became his wife. And then it says this, and he loved her. And he loved her. So here is the first instruction to the husband. Husbands, love your wives. But I want you to keep your hand in Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 5 for a moment, because there's a little text there that I want to draw your attention to. And then when you find Proverbs chapter 5, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, because there's another little text that I want you to learn as well in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. The second thing I want to draw your attention to as you're looking up those two places is this. The husband must live joyfully with his wife. Now, in that text in Proverbs 5, it's verse 18. I want you to underline that little verse in your Bible. Look what it says. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Underline those last words. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And then Ecclesiastes 9, and it's verse 9, and I want you to underline the phrase at the beginning of the text. It says this, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. There we have again God's instruction to the husband. And here in God's precious word, the Lord instructs the husband to live joyfully with his wife, to rejoice with the wife of his youth, and to live joyfully with the wife whom he loves. These two verses literally mean that the husband is to be satisfied with his wife. One of the main reasons why there's so much divorce and adultery today is because many husbands are unhappy and dissatisfied with their wives. This can come about for many reasons. Pressure in the home, which lead to arguments about minor things, depression and an unwillingness to talk things over with their partner, or just simply lust for another woman. But the Word of God is dogmatic and instructs the husband, listen to it again, learn it, meditate upon it, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. That's God's word to all husbands today. That's God's word to our hearts this afternoon. We're not just merely to exist together, to come to the conclusion, well, we have to live together for X number of years, so we'll just stick it out. No, it is to live joyfully with his wife. That's what the Word of God says. He is to love his wife all his life. In Colossians 3 verse 19, another key text when we come to consider the husband's duty towards his wife in the marriage relationship, it says this in verse 19 of Colossians 3 verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter towards them. Child of God, did you know that the husband that shows bitterness towards his wife and fails to show her the honor that is due to her because she is the weaker vessel can stop God from answering his prayers? Did you know that your prayers, husband, can be hindered if you don't love your wife and if you show bitterness towards her? 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3 for a moment, because it is another key text. And it proves the point that I'm only after making. It's 1 Peter 3 verse 7. And this is what we read. Likewise, ye husbands. So, here we have Peter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's coming to speak to husbands. I emphasize that as Peter writes, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We must say that because it's God's word. And although Peter is the one that's doing the writing, he's writing down what the Lord has instructed him to write down. So it's God's word that we're dealing with here. Here's what the Lord says through Peter. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Speaking about the wife, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Underline those words. There are many things that hinder prayer in the life of the Christian. An unforgiving spirit will hinder prayer. An untoppled idol in our hearts will hinder prayer. Unconfessed sins will hinder prayer. Unbelieving hearts will hinder prayer. But one of the main reasons why prayer is hindered in the life of the husband is because of an unhappy relationship with his wife. That's why the Apostle Peter draws our attention in this text of Scripture to this truth. Peter here is teaching clearly that if the husband is not in a godly and a scriptural relationship with his wife, then his prayers will be hindered. It is of the utmost importance that the husband always makes sure that his first love after God is his wife, and that he does everything within his power to make sure that nothing comes between him and his wife, that relationship. Because if it does, then it could come between him and his God. Husband, do you ever think about that? It's a very serious point, isn't it? If your relationship is not right with your wife, then your relationship will not be right with God. That's what I believe that Peter here is emphasizing. Therefore, you can see the importance that is placed upon the husband, especially because the husband, of course, as we're going to find out later on, is the head of the home. And it's so important that the husband is in touch with God, that the husband loves the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul. And of course, that's the key. Because if we love the Lord with all our hearts, all our souls and all our minds, then our love and our relationship will be right with our wives, those of us who are married. So the husband is to love his wife. He's to love his wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He's to love his wife as he would love himself. And he is to live joyfully with his wife. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. And I want you at this time to turn over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And I want you to notice that the husband must not leave his wife or abandon his wife. Look what it says in Mark 10, verses 6 to 9. But from the beginning, the creation of God made them male and female. Mark chapter 9, verse 6. Now look at verse 7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now that is the teaching of Scripture there. And I believe that when a man and a woman get married, that it's a lifelong commitment. And I believe that the Word of God teaches that clearly from this passage of Scripture. But now let me say this, and I want you to listen here very carefully because this is very important and you might not all agree with it. There's only one possible grounds for divorce in the Bible. There's only one set of circumstances whereby the husband can put away his wife, or vice versa. And that is if she commits adultery or gross immorality and is unfaithful to her husband and to her marriage vows. Now, it's important that you turn to these next two passages of Scripture. Matthew's Gospel chapter 5 and Matthew's Gospel chapter 19. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. So it's not my words, not the words of this church or any church. It's the words of the Son of God. And here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 5, verse 32. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving or except for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. The Lord Jesus Christ there is teaching clearly that there is one set of circumstances for divorce. Now look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking again, and he's speaking again on the same subject. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication,
Now, friend, what does that mean? I believe it means this, that if my wife commits adultery, I have the right to divorce her. That's what I believe it means. Now, if you can explain to me this verse some other way, I want to hear it. I want you to explain it to me. Don't just come to me and say to me, Mr. Gray, I don't believe in divorce under any circumstances. Unless you're prepared to explain to me these two verses and explain to me what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching here, don't come to me. Except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Therefore, apart from this one thing, the husband under no other circumstances can put away his wife or leave her. In 1 Corinthians 7 verse 11 we read these words, let not the husband put away his wife. I believe very sincerely that when a man and a woman get married, it is for life. The husband cannot leave his wife because he feels that he does not love her anymore. He cannot put away his wife and leave her because he's fed up with her. Marriage, and I want to emphasize this, I believe marriage is a lifelong commitment. Therefore, it is important that the husband, as the head of the home, does everything within his power to keep that home together. And he will best do that by continually loving his wife, looking after his wife, and living joyfully with his wife. Oh, I pray today, especially when we think of young people getting married, young people planning their future together, that they will listen to what God's precious word has to say. In our land today and across our nation, there are many marriage breakdowns. And it's sad. And of course, the reason why marriages break down is because either the husband stops loving his wife or the wife stops loving her husband, because one or the other commits adultery, or because one or the other gets fed up with each other, or because perhaps the man is abusive towards his wife. I tell you, if married couples read the Word of God and adhered to the Word of God and lived by the Word of God, there'd be no such thing as a marriage breakdown. And here we have, in simple terms, God's instructions to the husband. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, live joyfully with your wives. And let not the husband put away his wife. Oh, I pray that husbands and wives will love each other. A marriage needs to be worked at. Unfortunately, today it seems that many want to get out of marriage far too easily. But I pray that the Lord will come and through His Word today teach us the value of the family unit. Our society needs good families. Our society needs godly families. Our society needs families that will not only read the Word of God, but that will live according to God's precious Word. And I keep on emphasizing the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that is our rule and faith, a rule of practice. It's our rule of faith and practice, and day by day in our Christian lives, we always need to be turning to the Scriptures of truth, because it's only as we turn to the Scriptures of truth that we find God's guidance in all areas of our lives, but especially when it comes to the marriage relationship. Our next Lord's Day, in the will of the Lord, we're going to be considering the wife's duty towards her husband. But I wonder, as we are gathered at the end of this service today, and we're going to finish early today because of the funeral service, are there those here this morning and you're not saved, you're not Christians? In that first point, I was emphasizing how the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself a sacrifice for his people. Thank God the Lord Jesus loves sinners and he died on the cross in order to save sinners. And that means he died on the cross in order to save you and to save me. And if you're here today and you're not born again of the Spirit of God, I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to walk with him. Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let us all pray.